There are six things that God hates. No, seven things that he detests. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, a heart that plots evil, feet that run and race to do wrong, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who sows discord among the family. Indeed, we all make many mistakes, for if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in his mouth. And a small rudder moves a huge ship wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No. And you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. Have you experienced hell in your life? Possibly as a child, a teenager, a young adult, a spouse, or as a friend. You may have been burnt with the fires of hell itself. You may have endured the pain of an unruly tongue. The tongue is a flame of fire. A fire, James says, is from hell itself. Thus the title of our message this morning, The Fire of Hell on Earth. Probably this is the closest that we will come to experience the fires of hell here on earth. We could subtitle it, The Violence of the Tongue. How many of you remember the old adage, sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me? I believe really that was just a half-truth. We have found out a lot in the years since that was given to me, that it's not just the sticks and stones that break our bones that cause us pain, but it's the tongue that's lit on fire by hell itself. Today we understand that a broken bone often heals and we can forget almost totally about the injury. But a name often lingers long and even affects us sometimes right to the grave. The tongue. I remember back before I became a believer, I was probably about 19, 20, and my younger brother was with me. We were gone to a party, and we were on our way home. And I was chastising him a little bit because of him being a little loud at the party. As a 16-year-old, I thought he could act a little more mature like some of us 20-year-olds. But when I look back, the immaturity that I had was probably even far greater than his. But when I shared this with him, and I wanted to encourage him, he said, what difference does it make? He said, I'm just dumb anyway. I said, no, you're not dumb. Whoever said you were dumb? He said, well, you all say I am dumb. I had to start thinking. I think my mother coined this phrase, and it just became something the rest of us took up. When we would do something that she didn't appreciate, she said, don't be so dumb. So what did us siblings do? We did that with each other. Don't be so dumb. What had happened with my 16-year-old brother? We'd planted in his heart that he was dumb. And what accentuated it a little bit was he had trouble learning to read and write. He never did get finished grade 8. And so that compounded it. What kind of hurt did that one word do? It did tremendous hurt. And I didn't realize it. And I was floored. Even though I wasn't saved, I asked his forgiveness. And I sought never to use that word again. And I'm so thankful that my grandchildren have not had to hear that. Because Anthony and Carlene would not allow them to use words like that to put the other person down. I'm sure there's going to be some more words as they grow older that will happen between rivaling siblings. But I trust that the tongue could be used for the honor of and the glory of God. The tongue is an organ of speech. Both in the Old Testament, it is used to denote a language, also the people of a certain language. The word is also used of the tongues of animals, especially when humans are said to take on animal-like quality related to the tongue, such as having a poisonous tongue like an asp, a viper, or in other words, a snake. Because the tongue is the instrument of speech, many passages use the word as a metaphor to praise or to criticize the kinds of speech in which humans engage. The speech that comes from the tongue can be either good or evil. Psalm 120, verse 2 says, "Rescue me, Lord, from liars and from deceitful people." How do we come be deceitful? How do we lie? It all happens with the tongue. Proverbs 6:17 says, "Haughty eyes, a lying tongue." Where does it come from? Lying comes off the tongue. The words of the godly are like sterling silver, but the heart of a fool is worthless. So we see the good and the evil. James 3:7-12 says, "People can tame all kinds of animals, birds and reptiles and fish." That's what I read earlier. But it says, "No one can tame the tongue." Blessing and cursing is coming out of the same tongue. We praise God, we turn around, and tomorrow we cut down our brother or sister. Or we use a word that brings hurt. Any surprise that we are experiencing hellfire here on earth? Proverbs addresses these matters in picturesque language. The tongue of the righteous is pure silver. Proverbs 10:20. The tongue of the wise brings healing, but a lying tongue is only for a moment. The tongue that heals is a tree of life. Gentle words are a tree of life. A deceitful tongue crushes the spirits. Proverbs 15:4. A ruler can be persuaded through patience, and gentle tongue can break a bone. And then there's the capable wife. Loving instruction is on her tongue. Loving instruction is on her tongue. It's not demanding, but it's loving, and it's instruction. The tongue can be a window into the human heart. It produces the thoughts and intents contained in the heart, which could be good or evil. Psalm 34:13 says, "Keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies." Psalm 52:2, "All day long you plot destruction. Your tongue cuts like a sharp razor. You're an expert at telling lies." The psalmist says, "While the wicked slander me and tell lies about me." Psalm 109:2. Psalm 120:2-3 says, "Rescue me, Lord, from liars and from all the deceitful people. Oh, deceptive tongue, what will God do to you? How will he increase your punishment?" Isaiah 59:3 says, your hands are the hands of murderers, and your fingers are filthy with sin. Your lips are full of lies, and your mouth spews corruption. The tongue is an important organ, but it really denotes and demonstrates one's true relationship with God. For the unbeliever, the tongue is an instrument of deceit, showing man's true nature. And what is that true nature? Romans 3:13 says, their talk is foul, like the stench from an open grave. Their tongues are filled with lies. Snake venom drips from their lips. Jesus said that it is by men's words that they are justified or condemned. Matthew 12:37, the words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. James 3:2 says, indeed, we make many mistakes, for if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect, and then we could control ourselves in every other way. Have you ever thought about that? That impacted me tremendously as I was preparing here. If we could control our tongues, we could control every other aspect of our being. The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences, Proverbs 18:21. Those of us who like to talk, we will reap the consequences. Either we will reap the consequences because of the righteous and godly words that come out of our mouth, ones that will build up and encourage and edify each other, or we'll reap the consequences of all of the negativity that we bring out, all of the complaining that goes on. We will reap what we sow. The tongue is sharp, even as sharp as a sword. Psalm 64:3 says, they sharpen their tongues like swords and aim their bitter words like arrows. They actually try to make their tongue sharp. Jeremiah 9:3 says, my people bend their tongues like bows to shoot out lies. They refuse to stand up for the truth. They only go from bad to worse. They do not know me, says the Lord. In verse 8 of that same chapter in Jeremiah 9, it says, for their tongues shoot like poisoned arrows. They speak friendly words to their neighbors while scheming in their heart to kill them. Nice smile on their face, but in their heart, they're just waiting for an opportunity. What's happening? What's happening in your heart? James 1:26 says, if you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself and your religion is worthless. Proverbs 10:18 says, hiding makes you a liar. Slandering others makes you a fool. How many fools do we have here this morning? You don't have to raise your hand, but I have to. Slandering others makes you a fool. Proverbs 4:24, avoid all perverse talk. Stay away from corrupt speech. The tongue can speak lies. Proverbs 18:21, the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap these consequences. That's the one I just read previously. But it can bring death or it can bring life. That's what the tongue can do. The tongue is a powerful instrument. As surely as the north wind brings rain, so a gossiping tongue causes anger. How many times have you in this last week caused anger? According to this verse, it says, a gossiping tongue causes anger. Have you gossiped? Have I gossiped? In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, coming from James again, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. A tiny spark. One little thing. And how often are you capable of repeating exactly what you heard? Not very, I would say. You may add another word. You may say it exactly verbatim, but the body language portrays something totally different. We're gossiping. We're telling something about somebody else's failure. Proverbs 6:24 says, Wisdom will keep you from the immoral woman, from the smooth tongue of a promiscuous woman. The importance of making sure not only what we speak from this tongue, but what we hear from the tongues of others. Micah 6:12 says, "The rich among you become wealthy through extortion and violence. Your citizens are so used to lying that their tongues can no longer tell the truth." Where are you at? Where am I at? Have we gotten used to this aspect of lying? Is that something that behooves us as believers? Proverbs 21:6 says, "Wealth created by a lying tongue is a vanishing mist and a deadly trap." Proverbs 21:23 says, "Watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut, and you'll stay out of trouble." Can you keep your mouth shut? Sometimes I think if I bit my tongue every time I say something that I shouldn't, I would truly have a forked tongue. But it wouldn't be for the purpose of what's coming out of the heart. It would be because I've been biting my tongue so that I wouldn't speak. Proverbs 17:20 says, "The crooked heart will not prosper. The lying tongue tumbles into trouble." Psalm 140 verse 3 says, "Their tongues sting like a snake. The venom of viper drips from their lips." You see now why the metaphors are used like this? Almost anything that we can imagine, the scriptures are telling us about this organ that sits in our mouth, that without it, we wouldn't be able to speak. We wouldn't be able to sound out the dialect that we come from or that we have learned. Gentle words are a tree of life. A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. How many times have you crushed a spirit in someone's life? Break the will, but don't break the spirit in a child's life. We've heard that numerous times. Proverbs 15:2. "The tongue of the wise makes knowledge appealing, but the mouth of the fool belches out foolishness." Proverbs 26:28. "A lying tongue hates its victims. A flattering word causes ruin." Proverbs 26:23-26 says, "Smooth words may hide a wicked heart, just as a pretty glaze covers a clay pot. People may cover their hatred with pleasant words, but they are deceiving you. They pretend to be kind, but don't believe them. Their hearts are full of many evils. While their hatred may be concealed by trickery, their wrongdoing will be exposed in public." Deceitful, malicious. That's what we could say about the tongue. But we also ought to say about that about the man or the woman or the child that is using the tongue for evil purposes. Numbers 11:4 to 6 says, "Then the foreign rabble who were traveling with the Israelites began to crave the good things of Egypt, and the people of Israel also began to complain. 'Oh, for some meat,' they exclaimed. 'We remember the fish we used to eat for free in Egypt, and we had all the cucumbers and melons and leeks and onions and garlic we wanted. But now our appetites are gone. All we ever see is this manna.'" You relate? You never complain? I relate too well to this. But I got to ask you this question. Are you listening to the foreign rabble? It was the foreigners who started this and the Israelites picked it up. Are you listening to the foreign rabble? Are you listening to the ungodly? Are they complaining, as are you? Are you using your tongue by getting caught up in the complaining? Is it little wonder that Proverbs cites this observation? "A quarrelsome wife is as annoying as constant dripping on a rainy day. Stopping her complaints is like trying to stop the wind or trying to hold something with greased hands." When was the last time you put lotion on your hands and you immediately went to the doorknob and tried to turn it and you just could not grasp it? It wasn't in your control. What's life like? Is life like that? Isaiah 57:4 talks about, "Whom do you mock, making faces and sticking out your tongues, you children of sinners and liars?" Wow. Isaiah didn't mince any words here. Whom do you mock, making faces and sticking out your tongues? I can remember that happening as a child. We'd complain about our sibling, and then our mother would forbid us to say anything negative about our siblings anymore. So then what would we do? We'd stick out our tongue. What had happened? The heart hadn't changed. We were living under obedience because we were going to get a spanking if we didn't. But the heart hadn't changed. We may as well have said everything that was in the heart, because we were sticking out our tongue. The tongue is an indicator of a person's spirit. It reveals what is in the heart. And I ask Martha to put up Matthew 12, 33 to 37, please. This is in the New Living Translation. A tree is identified by its fruit. If a tree is good, its fruit will be good. If a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad. You brood of snakes, how could evil men like you speak what is good and right? I want you to just stop for a minute and think about that. Who's speaking here? It's Jesus. Jesus is speaking, and he says, you brood of snakes, I should come down and sit with you and then have the word speak that out. Because I believe that he's really talking to us today. So how could evil men like you speak what is good and right? For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. Remember, these are Jesus' words. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. And I tell you this, you must give an account on the judgment day for every idle word you speak. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. These are words right from Jesus. And I tell you, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. Isaiah 55:11. It is the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper wherever I send it. I believe God is speaking here. He says, it is the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. The words of God's mouth are always effective. Do you realize that you and I are mouthpieces for God? Can God's word always be effective, coming out of your mouth and my mouth? It says he sends his word out, and sometimes it happens that God uses our tongues to share his word. In fact, I don't know of any other way to get his word out except through you and I. You and I have a ministry, and that ministry is letting Christ shine through a heart that is surrendered and yielded to him. If that was the case, we can often judge by what comes out of our mouth as to what the condition of our heart is like. What are some of the positive uses of the tongue? Proverbs 13:3 says, those who control their tongue will have a long life. Where do you get your advice? Proverbs 25:11 says, timely advice is lovely, like golden apples in a silver basket. Great to look at. Wouldn't that be a real picture piece? Timely advice is lovely, like golden apples in a silver basket. Proverbs 18:21, the tongue can bring death or life. We've done that a few times, but I've done it on purpose. It can bring death or life. The words of the godly are like sterling silver. Proverbs 25:15, patience can persuade a prince, and soft speech can break bones. Proverbs 17:27 and 28, a truly wise person uses few words. A person with understanding is even tempered. Even fools are thought wise when they keep silent. With their mouths shut, they seem intelligent. Proverbs 20 and verse 15 says, wise words are more valuable than much gold and many rubies. So how much gold do you have on your hand, in your pockets? What about the rubies? It says wise words are far more valuable than much gold and many rubies. Proverbs 15:4. Gentle words are a tree of life. A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Proverbs 15:2, a tongue of the wise makes knowledge appealing. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge appealing. You want people to learn, use wise words off your tongue. Psalm 39:1, I said to myself, I will watch what I do and not sin in what I say. I will hold my tongue when the ungodly are around me. Sometimes we like to spew out when the ungodly are around us. Psalm 139:4, you know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. Do you live with that understanding? Do you live with that thought on your heart, on your mind, every day? Lord, you know exactly what I'm going to say. So what's coming out of here? Well, let's evaluate what the words are that I'm using. Psalm 35:28 says, then I will proclaim your justice and I will praise you all day long. If we're praising God all day long, there probably won't be too many evil words coming out because the heart. But you see, if the heart isn't ready to praise God all day long, we're probably going to exchange some of that praise for evil words. Psalm 37:30, the godly offer good counsel. They teach right from wrong. Psalm 119:172, let my tongue sing about your word, for all your commands are right. Let's use our tongue for righteous purposes. We are filled with laughter, and we sang for joy. And the other nations said, what amazing things the Lord has done for them. Can you and I live in such a way that suddenly someone would say, wow, look what the Lord has done for La Crique Christian Fellowship. Look what he is doing in the lives of so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. We would have a terrific impact, wouldn't we? The gospel would flourish. Proverbs 31:26. When she speaks, her words are wise, and she gives instruction with kindness. Philippians 2:11 remind us that there's a day coming that every knee is going to bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Might it be good that we start to practice already? That our praise will come spontaneously from a heart that is in tune? Psalm 34:13, then keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. That's where 1 Peter 3:10 comes from. Deuteronomy 6:4-7. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed and when you are getting up. I think that pretty much involves our day. Repeat them again and again. How many times have you shared a story or a concept from the scriptures with your children and think, now they've got it. I can move on to something else. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed and when you are getting up. And my challenge to you is not just to say, you can't do this and you got to do this, and you can't do this and you got to do this. But we want to share with them what the Word of God is really saying. We want to see what Proverbs 31:26 is all about. When she speaks, when he speaks, I'm going to change it a little bit. When she speaks or when he speaks, his or her words are wise. And he or she gives instruction with kindness. Realize it's not commands, but it's instruction. Maybe there's some opportunities for us, especially as young parents. Some of us have already beyond years, but we can still have influence on our grandchildren. Maybe we can move to a place of where we can speak wise words. Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Colossians 3:17. The tongue's power needs to be controlled. So, what is the desire of your heart? Is it to seek revenge? I doubt it after what we've heard this morning. But you know what? We haven't dealt with the heart yet. What is in the heart? What is your desire? Is it to seek revenge, curse your neighbor, bear false witness, cause dissension? Or might it be that we let the Lord avenge? Maybe it may it be that we love our neighbors and we speak well of him or her that hates us. I believe we can see from the word this morning that the reason we can't control our tongues is because of the filthy heart we have. Remember that Jesus said that it is the issues of the heart that cause the tongue to speak. So what kind of fruit are you capable of producing? Do you have a good heart or an evil heart? Is Jesus speaking to us today as he did to the Pharisees? Matthew 12:34 again. You brood of snakes, how could evil men like you speak what is good and right? For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. Would you just put up 12:33-37 again, Martha, please? A tree is identified by its fruit. If the heart is good, it'll speak out the good things. If a heart is evil, from the treasury of an evil heart, you'll produce evil things. And remember, we must give account for every idle word that we have spoken. We will give account. Jesus himself has brought us this message. We will give an account. Have you considered yourself to be working with God or against him? If we backed up a little bit in that chapter to Matthew 12:30, it says, anyone who isn't with me opposes me, and anyone who isn't working with me is actually working against me. Words of Jesus. When you choose to let cursing come out by your tongue, you're actually working against God. When you spread gossip, you are working against God. Oh, I know. You just spread that little morsel under the guise of a prayer request, but really, you wanted to be in the know and let others know the plight of the downfall of the other party, but it is still gossip. Proverbs 26 says, fire goes out without wood, and quarrels disappear when gossip stops. See, if you and I refused, the fire would go out. But remember, just one little thing that we say, the tongue is a flame of fire, set on fire by hell itself. A huge forest fire can happen by one little spark. How many times have we seen acres and acres and acres of bush go? Thousands of acres of bush. But it was one little spark. Let us be sincere as we think about prayer and we think about receiving a prayer request. Let's pray. And let's pray sincerely. Oftentimes we add our own understanding to what we heard when the request was given to us. When you belittle the other person, make fun of him or her behind their backs, you are working against God. When we make condemning remarks about another believer or allow our unruly tongue to cut someone down to size, we are working against God. When we spoke down to one of our children, when we have spoken down to one of our children in a moment of anger and rage, we have been working against Jesus who said, suffer little children to come unto me. Mark 10:14, when Jesus saw what was happening, he was angry with his disciples. He said to them, let the children come to me. Don't stop them. For the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. God gave us the tongue to use for his glory. It is the organ of speech that we want to use to praise him. To praise him, our Creator, our God, and our Lord. Oftentimes today we use the word godly in referring to people. I want to ask you a question. As a result of coming to church this morning, does that make you righteous? Does that make you godly? Does your religious affiliation, does that make you godly? It appears from many of the verses that we've looked at this morning, our godliness comes from a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. When we are in right relationship with Jesus, we have his fullness in us by his Spirit. and we are allowing Him to change our hearts every day to be more like Him. The result is that if we have chosen the Holy Spirit to have control of our hearts, then what comes out on our tongues will be the fruit of the Holy Spirit and not the vile flesh of the old nature. Do you have any regrets of the use of your tongue? I believe every one of us that are able to speak have regrets of our past use of our tongues. I am so glad for God's redemptive plan, His awesome grace, His complete forgiveness, and His everlasting love. We don't have to live in regret, and He has made a way for us to be reconciled with those we have hurt with our tongues. It is called confession to both God and man. James 5:16 says this, "Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results." Yes, here's another use of the word righteous or godly, referring to a person. Can we agree here today, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to commit ourselves as Job did when he said this? "My lips will speak no evil and my tongue will speak no lies." Can we agree to attempt to let the Holy Spirit control our lives? Let us show that we are righteous and godly by what is said by our tongue. James said the tongue can't be tamed, but our hearts can be changed. And then what is in our hearts will come out on our tongues as a word fitly spoken, which is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Can we evaluate each word that we speak with our tongue and see if it is a valuable word for ministering to, building up the body of Christ? Then our words will be like sterling silver. Let's pray. Father, I have looked in a mirror this morning, and if no one else has heard this, I have. And I realize, Father, that we are far from living perfect lives. And we want to take what James has to say, that the tongue is an unruly character and it can't be tamed. But Father, we don't want to use that as an excuse. Because the Lord Jesus said that if our hearts were good, if our hearts were in tune with You, good things would come out on our tongues. So Father, it's a conviction to me this morning that Your word is telling me that when my words are inappropriate, it's because of my heart condition. I thank You for that revelation this morning. And I pray for my brothers and sisters together with myself, Father, that we would leave this place determined as Job was, not to sin with our mouths anymore. Father, I thank You for Your forgiveness. I thank You that You have restored us and that You're willing to restore us if we have something even at the moment that is sitting, so to speak, in limbo that hasn't been dealt with. We haven't reconciled with another. I ask, Father, that You would use that situation. May we go to each other today if there's something here in this congregation. May we go to each other and ask forgiveness and be reconciled with a commitment that we're going to use our words to bring glory and honor to You. We need You, Father. Fill us with Your Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.